Whenever y'all out. Mason. Because I was going to call her Luna May.
I've heard her mother call her that before.
Luna May.
Luna May. But yeah, it's Mason.
That's what,
which I thought was really sweet for my son to name his daughter after his brother, you know?
That's Chris's baby's name.
Then again, now that I'm not eligible for student loans anymore, who do I have to
get? Luna May. Lynn, you can hear this too. So, Kenna today finally decided she thinks she's pretty sure she's going to do her grad studies at OSU.
Physically.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's always been her dream.
Okay.
And
she weighs.
That would be the social work program. She wants to ultimately be
carting her around the house. Wears me out.
The cost of social work, but like she'd be interested in doing like some counseling.
Per se.
So anyway, I'm
going to
just put her on the floor with the cats.
Clinical, she's
yeah. Well,
kind of gross, so.
I don't always
you know what I mean?
I don't always say the right things.
She's good, you know, she
is a mom, and I always say the right things.
She's and crawling backwards right now, you know, they always go backwards before they
go. Yeah. I said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
60 minutes.
I said, I think ultimately, based on what you've been saying to me lately, I do think the social work degree that allows you to
sort of have a routine
and do your
I know what that means.
I ran out of in like a 588 bed, like nursing home.
They gave it all.
Can you make it yourself?
So, like, she could be an administrator there, but
remember,
yet
you
still need some administrative
teachers.
I just froze them because I didn't have time, you know. So
is it gonna work okay with
her? You know, we'll have to set another date.
Okay.
Personal. I like making it with you.
I like making
it
with you.
So
now
is
the time.
Yes. So I hadn't opened the strawberry rhubarb like it was. Oh, it was so good.
Pop would say, because
I was just eating up all the black.
You know what that reminds me? The rhubarb comes always about this time of year.
When you get your health in check, it's like she's got ADD.
Freeze that so we can make it.
Because she
it is good.
Something that they will give you without seeing you.
Hi.
Controlled substance.
Yes, she was in St. Louis and didn't have a doctor's appointment. So I'm like, you got to take care of some stuff. I said, and I think you and Sean need to sit down and have a conversation. And Amy needs you.
Yeah, so you're separated now.
You know, women need jobs around the house.
Chris?
You know, again,
does Princess like catnip?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got some in my yard. It's going to flower. I think of the leaves are still.
Okay, bring it next time. Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I figure I get a buzz when I can't tell my cat they can't have a buzz.
Well, I supply a number of cats.
She said it was very clear.
She probably can do it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a black t-shirt. How do you know that's
true?
Van Halen.
Thank you.
You know, though, it's you fun or MSW. Reason being is I didn't know the master. Go to UIC, they fund every master
program. Separated from you.
I was thinking we can still whisper across the globe.
That's true.
UIC.
Okay.
Also, where is the entrance to this parking lot?
This is. So this is.
She's younger. She probably doesn't want to.
This is the.
Some stuff in the packet and some stuff.
So we're looking at the budget tonight. We need to add. I talked to Lynn with about this. She's cool. About $2,000 for an aquarium. Mostly turtles.
Island?
You want me to get a $2,000.
Oh, you weren't paying attention. I'm sorry. Go. I was just trying to divert you real quick.
First of all, I love turtles and I love aquariums.
Hello. Sorry, Wayne. Go ahead.
I would
that.
Do this.
How are you today?
Dream.
By that, I mean melting.
Okay.
Yes.
The new board member?
It's a band.
Was, I know Chris Bruns was my supervisor. I saw him.
Hi. Good to see you.
Yeah.
So, if the bandage falls off.
I forgot they wanted to show up.
It is public, and you are welcome. In this, you can sit in the gallery.
I'm still learning.
What? That's fine. You can sit in the gallery.
I went to New York last
week. Water
are we a show
and a snack?
Yeah, I did go to the show.
You're welcome.
I gotta do that. That place is wonderful.
This one was at the Virginian. It was at the Virginian. It was like a teen production, but it was really good. But the Station Theater always has very cool stuff over here.
They were doing Reefer Madness. I think that was Omar to see that.
That was at the Cantor.
Yeah.
I know the first one.
I guess it's over.
Have you heard any spread out?
I've never seen a lot.
Whisperings about Tracy Carson's retiring soon?
Oh, I've seen concerts. I've never seen a.
Because it dawned on me, I ran into him last August some music event.
Does he think is there long? Can you give me an hour show? Would be good.
Not the idea. So is he? A date?
Yeah, that makes it even longer though.
It was a little salty on Saturday because I posted, hey, it's Friday, and she didn't give me details. And so I turned to Tony and I said, hey, I said, you need to hop in the shower when you're done watching the stuff. It goes on for hours.
Superman.
It was such a funny show, though.
What's the destination you're talking about?
So the whole first set, it's me and the other guy who just had Skinner Band. So we're the lead singers baking in the sun. With no sunscreen.
Oh.
Yeah. Like the whole time I could make it not from the sunscreen. And then the whole second set was cooler in the workout. A bunch of children that got on stage. And now you cannot, if you've got children on stage with all that electronic equipment and it's dark, you cannot not work with them. They can have interference pass by. You have to like, because somebody could get hurt really bad.
When your kids on stage, are they singing like that?
So, here's the show we're doing then. And they're just, the kids are mostly just standing there, but it was really cute.
Yeah.
So it was a whole, like, it was a pageant.
If we don't, that means, we'll have
to. Hello? Hello? It's 5:45. We ain't got a forum. I'm out here.
I'm gonna hit record then in honor of that. Just but you can
drive. Recording in progress.
I just parked on the street because I was like, they should have a spot designated for board members. How do you get in the parking lot? Because I know how to get out.
Yeah,
it was
just
very
clearly
marked
at the third page. That's
not. You could always take the bus, which shops off right across the street.
Where did you pull into it from, though? I saw where you parked. Is it on that road?
No, right here. There's an entrance, like, it says don't enter, and then you go, I don't know, they're 12 feet, and then there's an entrance.
It's not really assigned seating. I just put the...
It would not be moved for 6 months.
It's social control. I'm sorry. And I fell for it.
Yeah, I read that.
I can't swap. Okay, I'm easily controlled. Okay, we need to know this. You're gonna whisper it to me?
It's kind of like my thing. Okay. Like you and Scott
don't know how they know if you love yourself.
We went to high school together.
You're not birthday twins, but you're really close.
But I wasn't really
friends with Emma's birthday also was close in the same time frame. But you guys are like,
I'm 13th. When's yours?
5th.
Yes, that's not that close. When's Scott's?
It's 16.
Okay. Yeah. You know who else is July 13th? Han Solo. Han.
Many
things. So, hey, Joe. Probably don't start till Joe gets here.
I said nobody took up the office starting late.
But now we don't have a quorum for just a second.
Oh, until he gets here.
Hi, everybody. It feels like y'all are so far away now. It's because of fall.
We're always far away, but we feel more intense. The room shape is
yeah. I'll take it over, Brooke and Phyllis.
It is. Isn't it beautiful?
This is a nice one.
Yeah. No weird smells.
Yeah. You know too much about Brooke.
I know too much, yeah. And Brooke is now moving over there, so
oh.
Can't get away from it.
Do you need any adding machines in your office?
Adding machines?
Yes,
I don't think so. I don't even know what that is.
Nice try, Lynn.
I'm just
I'm trying to offload some adding machines, whatever that means.
Adding machines.
Like a calculator? Like what's
like, they're kind of neat. Like, because
you need any
find
floppy disks or Rolodexes?
Like, the adding machine is kind of good because you can look at the tape and find the one mistake.
We have a lot of old things in our office.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's a lot, yeah, like floppy disks. CD, if you have CD mailers, all kinds of disks.
All right, well, since we have a quorum, I will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, July 23rd, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Scott M. Bennett Administrative Center, 102 East Main Street, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Joe Omosagie, Tony Nichols, Molly McClay.
Here.
Chris Miner.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson. Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel.
Here.
John Paul Joachim.
All right, well, we do have a quorum, so we can move on to approve the agenda, which is on page one of the packet. Any comments or motions? All right, well, I will move to approve the agenda as presented. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the MHB and DDB schedules and updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 7 of the packet. There is no action needed. However, we do have an update to the schedule. So, Lynn, would you mind sharing about that?
There was a tentative regular meeting in August. We have traditionally taken August off, but there's a really cool study session. You're going to be so happy about the study session. So it's not a meeting, though? Okay.
Plus, we did take June off, so that is our summer meet off. But we will be having study sessions in August, September, and October with some very important groups. So we will hear more about that soon. All right. Any comments? All right. Next, we move to the CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 8 through 19 of the packet. Are there any updates to this?
This is the one you've seen the last few months, but I have made a number of changes to the one that will be in your next meeting packet. So,
very exciting. Thank you very much. All right, next we will move to public participation agency input. This is our first portion for public participation and agency input. So as always, we always welcome the public to speak to the Mental Health Board to share their thoughts with us. We cannot respond directly, but we may use input to inform our future actions. You can participate by coming to the podium. Do we still have the little slips?
Yeah.
You can fill out a little slip and we can either call you up or read that. We also have options on Zoom to raise your hand or put something into the chat to signify that you would like to speak. If you are an agency representative or anybody else providing input that may impact the board actions, you should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take steps to be in compliance with the act. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes or in total time to 20 minutes. So after all that whole spiel, is there anybody who would like to speak to the board right now? All right. Well, there will be another opportunity to share public input later on in the meeting, so we will go ahead and move on. So next, it is time for chairperson's comments. So I am Molly McClay, your chair again for the second year. Thank you for having me back. And I just wanted to say a series of very laborious meetings with funding allocations and difficult decisions financially, this meeting is going to be more of a looking forward sort of thing. We do have to discuss budget, but we'll be talking about the strategic planning priorities for next year's funding and some other items as well. So I think it'll be, for the most part, a nice forward-thinking meeting. And I just want to comment, in our first meeting in this new space, I really appreciate what it means to be meeting in a space named after Senator Scott Bennett, who was a huge champion for mental health and for those with developmental disabilities in our county. And it has been very hard to have lost him, but I'm very grateful that we have this space that is in his honor where we can do this work. So, and with that, we will move on to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
And I have a lot of comments, but I'm going to just maybe do only a few of the many that are in my head. So we've been really, really focused on making the move from our offices at Brookings to the offices here. We're not here yet, so it was especially confusing to be the first people having public board meetings in this room. So you're the second because it was the DD board this morning, but it's gone very smoothly. We've had so much support from admin staff, they were all down here yesterday to help, and then today prior to the meeting, and then also prior to this meeting. So I think that after this meeting, I'm probably going to pass out from all the anxiety that I had about things that actually worked out great. So that's the comment I feel like obligated to make, because so many people really helped today and yesterday and the day before. But there's a couple things I heard on a random meeting. It's a committee that I routinely attend, and there's often nothing to tell you about from the meeting. It's the Illinois Department of Mental Health, which is now, it's now merged with the Illinois Substance Abuse Prevention and Recovery Department, and instead of being DMH and Super, they're Department of Behavioral Health Recovery, I think, DBHR. And they started the meeting with, "Oh, we don't have much to say today," and then proceeded to share two very important bits of news that I think y'all need to know, just in case anyone asks, because these are really really important things that could affect us. You might remember that there was a federal change in the 988 crisis line call services. They stopped funding and servicing the LGBTQIA+ specific 988 line federally. Illinois has decided to fund it in Illinois, so we don't lose that service in Illinois. And I think that is like, I mean, they're just kind of offhand sharing that. I'm like, that is such a wonderful big deal. And you might have seen, there have been some news releases about it too, so you might already know that. But I think it's worth spreading that word so that people continue to use that crisis line, if they've, especially if they've already used it and it went well. Then the second thing is that 2 days ago, Illinois filed a lawsuit to stop a federal action that causes the... you can't use any tax funds for any services that an undocumented immigrant might be using. So Illinois has sued so that that doesn't extend to Illinois. That's important to all us because we are doing that. And their advice to the providers who were on this call was, don't change anything. Like, the, you know, don't change what you're doing right now. We need to see what happens. So anyway, that's like very hot news. Anyway, I just thought I'd better share those things. I don't usually bring you a lot of information from those meetings, but those pieces maybe matter a lot right now. So, okay, that's it.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And I wonder if we'll have continue to have more and more pieces from that meeting that might be, you know, meaningful for us to hear going forward, just given all of the changes. And very grateful that Illinois has stepped up to continue providing some of these services. So thank you. Next, we will move to approve the CCMHB board meeting minutes. The minutes are on pages 20 to 30 of the packet. Action is requested to approve the minutes from the CCMHB's May 21st, 2025, and May 28th, 2025 meetings. So any discussion or motions?
If there is no discussion, I will make an motion to approve the minutes of the CCMHB May 21st and May 28th, 2025 meetings.
Seconded.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion on the minutes? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the CCMHB's May 21st, 2025 and May 28th, 2025 meetings, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists. These are on pages 31 to 54 of your packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice lists and place them on file. Any discussion and or motions?
I move to accept the vendor invoice lists and place them on file.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion on these? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice lists and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. Next, we will move to the staff reports, which are on pages 55 through 69 of the packet. For information only, staff reports are included in the packet. These are from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Stephanie Howard-Gallo, Shondo Somerville, and Chris Wilson. Any discussion on these? All right, I had a discussion point and a question. The first thing I wanted to note was, I don't remember, I think it was Leon's staff report. Promise Healthcare's audit was turned in on its deadline of June 30th, 2025, for the first time ever. So we are very excited to see that. So they may not the grace period deadline, the actual deadline, which is very exciting. So I just wanted to make a shout out to that, because I know last year it got very close, but yes. And then my question was, I believe, I don't know if this might have been mentioned only in Kim's report, but maybe others. There is a discussion about a quarterly reports training that will be happening, and I was wondering if I could learn more about that.
You know, that's because it's in Kim's report, I think she should tell us if she can, if she's available to tell us. I know what it is, but it'd be better coming from her.
We would love to hear from you, Kim.
Sorry, excuse me. Yes. My lighting was a little bit awkward, but can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we're in the very, very early stages of planning that, but we have experienced a lot of difficulties around agencies doing the quarterly reports training, and we have used the system developer to do kind of a very broad overview of the application system itself, but I thought it would be more useful if our staff actually provided the training for doing the quarterly reports. So we're in the early stages of that, but it would be for the program reports, the zip and the zip code, the demographics, the financial reports, and also CLC reports. So we're hoping possibly late September or early October ahead of the first quarter reports.
That sounds wonderful, and I think very responsive to the needs that have been put forth. So very excited to hear how that goes. Thank you for putting that together. Any other discussion or questions about the staff reports?
I was just wondering on page 59 of Leon's, if there's an acronym that I wonder if it should go in the list, S-O-F-T-T-L-A-N, or is, I don't think that's it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I thought that was in there, but it should definitely be.
Okay.
So we will absolutely make sure.
Unless I didn't do the alphabet right.
No,
I didn't see it.
We'll do it. We'll make sure it's in there.
It's great.
Thank you. I thought I recalled seeing it there in the past. I don't know.
There's every chance that I accidentally deleted it while adding something else. This can happen. But so we'll just make sure we get it in there.
Thank you for that point. Any other questions or discussion? All right. Seeing none, we will move to new business. And the first item of new business is a special agency request. There's a memorandum on pages 70 through 72 of the packet for the board's consideration. A decision memo requests waiver of requirements for an agency facing an unexpected obstacle or action is requested. So, Lynn, would you be willing to share a little bit more about this? And then I plan to read part of the memo into the record.
This might end up being a nice opportunity for others to say things, so I'm not going to jam up the time. We had, as you know, back in middle of February, we canceled a contract with an agency as of December 31st at the agency's request. This came after some, concern. We were concerned. I think I asked Leon, the agency director had been very responsive, one of those people who's working at 3 or 5 in the morning, and I also happen to be, so, we never expected not to hear from him back in the fall. So Leon did a wellness check and some phone calls and learned that the director really wasn't doing okay and really needed to stop providing the services. So we canceled the contract with the information that we all understood at the time. I was thinking everything's going to be okay. We're going to get back to this later. So the termination was with that kind of optimism. And that included some reports that don't get done till later that at this point, there is no one other than the director who could do those reports, and he sadly passed away. I think you all know this quite suddenly. And so, so Chris Wilson and I were talking about the remaining items and that it wasn't only not practical, but probably impossible for the agency to do that now, because it's, I think who's left is his mother and a friend who was their board chair. So, anyway, so this is to ask you to, technically I'm asking you to allow us to amend the contract again to remove the final requirements. And then the spirit of it is that maybe we could all say some nice things about the agency director. So I think that's enough from me, and if others want to, yeah.
Thank you very much, Lynn. I wanted to open it up to board members to share anything they want to share, because we know this agency and its director, Terrapin Station, Silver Living, and Nelson Novak were very special to the board, and that this loss hits very hard. So anything that anyone would like to share right now, I have something I will share, but I want to open it up to everyone else as well. Right. Well, I will go ahead and read what I wrote, and if others feel moved to share after that, that is fine, and then we can also vote on the two motions that are on page 72. So this was written to Terrapin Station Sober Living Board. On behalf of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, I write to express our deep sadness on the passing of Nelson Novak. Over my time on the board, I have consistently been in awe of the extraordinary work of your founder, director, and sole staff member. Nelson's vision for Terrapin Station Sober Living as a supportive space to nurture those in recovery has been moving to behold. Some of my earliest board memories were of hearing my fellow board members speak of the innovations that Nelson developed, particularly in connecting those served to their creative spirit through various arts and the unique opportunities to heal. It has been a space unlike any other in our community and is a model for those looking to make a difference. Our hearts are broken to have to say goodbye to this wonderful person who has meant so much to our community. Please know that Nelson's work will be remembered, thought of fondly and often, and that he is a shining example of how much good one person can do in this world. Thank you for sharing his brilliance and heart with us and for giving us the opportunity to grieve with you. May open it back up to the discussion from the board, and I also like to allow staff to share anything that they'd like to right now.
Hi, I'll say one or two words. I had a chance to work real closely with Nelson, and through the years, Nelson, I characterize him as a sweet soul. You know, Nelson often struggled with getting reports in and on time, but the one thing that was special about Nelson was he never quit. He never gave up. He continued and tried and persisted to, you know, understand our reports, our forms, how to submit things, and he was very responsive to me, so that made my job a lot easier to work with Nelson. I had a chance to go to the his ceremony a week ago, and his mother was there, of course, along with his stepfather and a couple of friends and their board, a few board members, and we all had a chance to, you know, talk about Mr. Nelson being kind of somewhat stubborn and but yet the heart of a special heart for the people that he served and the home in which he serviced those individuals. I went to the home on a few occasions, and Nelson being Nelson had stuff all over the place, but he was very focused when I asked questions, when I met with him to do a site visit. just a kind person, and the work that he was doing was extremely difficult, working with individuals with co-occurring issues. And so, you know, he'll be remembered. I'll remember Nelson forever. Just a sweet person, and you know, our community will certainly miss the Terrapin Station Sober Living Home and Nelson Novak. So,
thank you so much, Leon. Any other thoughts from board or staff? I'm sorry that my predictions didn't work out. I really thought we'd be back to it. So, oh well.
Well, with that, I would like to move to waive the remaining contract requirements associated with contract number MHB25-067 for Terrapin Station Sober Living's Recovery Home Program. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, the motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
All right, with that, the motion passes. Would anyone like to make the second motion that's listed?
Yes, I move to recognize and honor Nelson Novak for his significant contributions to Champaign County through Terrapin Station Sober Living and his related efforts.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just real quick, how are we going to recognize and honor him?
Well, some of it's already happened, but I don't know.
I didn't mean like in a rude way or anything.
No.
Regardless.
I think immediately at the news, people had a lot of things to say and were very sad. And so I don't think that his family is going to not appreciate words of comfort in the years to come. So I think there's a lot of time to recognize and honor his work and to communicate it to his friends and his family. We've done a little, Leon did some, and then Molly has written a name. I didn't send it yet because I was waiting for the, you know, to make sure that that was okay with everybody, and then if we want to add anything to it. I think it's, this is just to say we can do that at any time.
It's all good.
I also just wanted to say, like, it felt wrong to just only waive the contract requirements right now. So while it is a formal statement in this moment, I think it does matter. And I did want to say that the note I read out loud is something that we had planned to send, but I would encourage any board members who want to add to that message to please do so. And we can figure out, you know, how people want to be attributed, but please know that you can add to that message as well. But I think it's important to take a moment to formally recognize and honor his work right now, because this is the last sort of work that, at least that we know of at this time, that we will have with him through the board.
Well, and we should also remind people that you can donate to the East, to the Community Foundation. There's a fund set up, a Nelson Novak Fund, and it's in an email that we got.
Thank you very much.
For homeless and illness and for youth education and music, I believe, were the two things he would like that money to go to, so you can go there and donate individually. I don't know if it's true in that email, but there was the first obituary that I found had a link where you could make comments, and Joe Omosagie did. So I think that probably both of the obituaries have such a link where you can send, you know, a memory, and then that's probably a nice way to do it because that will reach the right people. Yeah.
other discussion? We did do the motion in the second, right? Okay. All right. Well, we can do a roll call for this one, too, I think. So the motion is to recognize and honor Nelson Novak for his significant contributions to Champaign County through Terrapin Station, Sober Living, and his related efforts. May I have a roll call?
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Holly McClay?
Yes. All right, with that, this motion passes. We will next move on to our next item of new business, which is setting the stage for 2026 and PY 2027, believe it or not. On pages 73 to 83 of the packet, from the information only, our briefing memorandum detailing current strategic plan objectives and funding allocation priorities, as well as two lists of PY 2026 awards. So Lynn, would you share? Okay.
I'll share the screen. You're not asked to do anything with this today or ever, but I find it really helpful to kind of round up what are the current plan goals and objectives. There's sort of like a million of them. This is just how we've done the strategic plan in recent years. I've failed to share it, and also to the priorities that funded agencies responded to for the year that just started, July 1st. So those priorities are also listed. I know it seems like it's going to be a long time before you're making funding decisions again, but the process starts now. So there's strategic plan goals and objectives. The objectives are summarized instead of all written out. And then here are the current year priorities. And under each one, I summarized a little bit. And then I also I didn't list the agencies in this document, but I did say like how many and about how much money, well, how much money is dedicated to that priority for each category. Didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Okay. So it's really just to put all of these, the current conditions in one document, because the very next thing we're going to start doing is working on a new three-year plan with new objectives and a new set of funding priorities for the year that'll start July 1, 2026. It really seems early and you haven't even had a moment to breathe out yet from the allocation process, but we staff have to start working on this stuff now, and the more input that you would like to give us over the next month or so, the more helpful, the more you'll be represented in our next set. You also don't have to do that. We have a lot of, we've been collaborating since 2018 with the Community Health Needs Assessment and Health Plan Group. So there's a ton of information from that, which we will be able to use to put together the strategic plan and even to shape the funding priorities. But I think it's actually really important to get your ideas in there too. So just whenever you have time for it, if you want to tell me now, that's okay too. But anyway.
Thank you very much. So, yes, we do not have to vote on anything related to this, but does anyone have any comments?
I'd like to talk about Champaign. This is personal to me, with most of you probably as well. We're having a gun violence problem, and would funding for programs or working to contest and combat the gun violence issues in Champaign fall under the healing from interpersonal violence?
The Mental Health Board has a very long history of funding violence interruption, anti-violence, violence mitigation. It's just that appropriately other governmental entities got involved with funding and creating plans, and I think we're at a point where, like, we don't want to do... they've created these big plans. I think we're going to be consistent with those, you know? You can still do that, like under the healing from interpersonal violence priority and also under stabilization from crisis.
Okay, I was concerned about funding organizations that don't want to play along with a partnership that you were talking about.
because they would, you know, that's a discussion for another time, possibly.
No, that's a great point, but that's really hard, but it's a really great point. So, yeah, guidance from y'all. Yay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, one thing that I have noticed over my time on the board is that the healing from interpersonal violence category tends to, priority tends to have, like, the lowest funding designated toward it. I mean, this is a product of, like, the number of applications in that area. No, it's not a product.
I would say it's a product of other sources of funding had been at nice sustainable levels. That's increasingly not true,
right,
which is why you've taken on more each year. But those have been more stably funded by federal and state sources for a long time. So now we're filling a funding gap in those really important areas. One of the superpowers of the mental health board is that you can jump in and save programs that are really important to people's lives that are disappearing in other communities. So if that number ends up going up, I mean, it's like shame on the rest of the world, but good for us. I think that one thing, the programs that are under that category right now are really concentrated around gender-based violence. And I think we do mean also healing from community violence or from the violence of racism. So I think there are a lot of programs that could fit under that priority if that continued or we can expand it. I don't know. It's been there for a while. I need to shut up.
Thank you. I think that's really important. Thank you, one, for, I guess it is sort of a product of what's applying, but that we may have had less applications in that area, less funding requested because of other funding sources that have now been reduced that we have had to step in and support. But I think, like, room for more focus in this area and innovation in this area would be very interesting and important, so something to definitely consider. And I also want to note, each program is listed with, like, kind of their primary priority category, but many programs sort of meet multiple categories. For example, the strengthening the behavioral health workforce isn't listed here, but, like, several programs did sort of meet that in addition to, like, their primary priorities. So it could be cool to, like, nickel X's by the ones that maybe are the secondary priorities. Financially, it would get complicated.
Like, I don't know how much time agencies want to put into that, but, we could probably make the case for almost all of them aligning with more than one priority. Yeah. And so when they make the case for it, that's really convenient for us. But I think it's there, and it's partly because of the priorities themselves are not super distinct. So.
Any other? Oh, yeah. Go.
Yeah. When I look at these priorities, every time we look at them, there's a word that I don't think I've seen. It's the word literacy. And that's the pipe through which everything else flows. If you can't read, it doesn't matter what a nice website an agency has, you can't get a driver's license. And all of this case management would be less if people could read. I heard a rant in May by a person who had been working in the Cincinnati criminal justice system about the percentage of people who cannot read, especially men who are incarcerated. And this was because all the AmeriCorps teachers in Eastern Kentucky had just been cut by the feds, and they were in an area that was a meth capital. And so while we don't directly, target literacy, a lot of programs that we support do have programs that help kids, school kids, the urban and neighborhoods, the Boys and Girls Club, and of course Dream Boys did when we funded them. So I was just thinking, where could you just put the word in so it isn't forgotten? And maybe on page 78, where you're increasing the social determinants of health, if you could put housing, healthcare, literacy, just put the word in there. And the other story that I've heard here in town was a member of the Rotary Club told me that she was asked to help a woman get a driver's license, one of the people that they interface with. And it turned out the woman couldn't read, and that was the reason she didn't have a driver's license. So she worked for months to help this woman learn to read, and so two things happened after that. The woman admitted that none of her children could read. And the other thing she said was, do you mean that now that I can read, I can register to vote? So, you know, it's right there. And I just think we need to honor that need by mentioning it in the priorities somewhere. I'm through. I'm off my soapbox.
Thank you very much. I think that's very important. Any other discussion?
You could actually probably add literacy to four or five of these priorities.
I also wanted to add that there are upcoming study sessions will also could potentially impact the strategic plan and funding priorities, although the a quick turnaround after them to get it implemented into the documents may be difficult, but I think that's something we can approach the study sessions from that perspective of, like, how do we want these opportunities to hear from community members and agencies to inform what we are focusing on in the future.
Yes. That's right. Like this, the timing of study sessions may be tight for getting all of the magic from these coming study sessions into the strategic plan or the priorities, but in this last round of the shared community health needs assessment, at almost every meeting, even when we were designing the survey, we really concerned, everybody has been concerned about the people who are hard to reach and who tend not to contribute to, like, how their health needs could be better met, what the barriers are for them. So that's actually, you know, maybe a strength of the mental health work, that you are connected to organizations who are serving some of the hardest to reach people. So we may be able to get that information and then share it back to the full community needs assessment for the next time around. So we use it now, but if we don't, even if we don't completely use it, it'll inform the next. Yeah. Anyway, that's.
Can I go ahead and just share what the topics are? Because I don't know if we have, like, officially. So August 20th is a study session focused on LGBTQIA mental health and hearing from agencies and community members that agencies that work with this population and community members who are part of this. And then September 27th. What? 24th. Is our joint study session with the Developmental Disabilities Board, and it is continuing on a theme from prior, where we will be hearing from self-advocates, and there's, when we've met with self-advocates in the past, it has been really, really meaningful. And then October 29th will be a study session focused on immigrant mental health, where we'll hear from agencies who work with immigrant mental health and community members. And refugee mental health. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything that I need to add on that?
No.
As we're putting things in boxes in the office, I found needs assessment instruments that were local about immigrant and refugee mental health from like 20 or 30 years ago, and I thought, that would be really fun to add to your study session packages, you know, because we have it, and I don't... No? Okay. I'll just enjoy it myself.
I think, like, populations that not only are harder to reach, but also may have been explicitly targeted with cuts recently, I think are, at least in my opinion, really important to hear from right now. So, any other discussion on the study sessions or anything kind of in the setting the stage area?
All right.
Holly.
Oh.
Sorry.
Go for it.
I just want to let the board know that you'll hear input from the public, but they are not coming in person. So just be prepared for that due to safety concerns.
Do you mean the agencies and community members?
The agencies are coming, but the community members, we're sending out a survey.
Thank you very much for mentioning that, and I think the safety issues are very much understood. Any final comments? All right, we will move on to the next item of new business, which is the United Way 211 MOU on pages 84 to 90. Included in the packet are decision memorandum regarding continued funding for 211 call services, a draft memorandum of understanding with United Way of Champaign County, and United Way of Champaign County's agreement with the provider of these services, and our action is requested. So, Lynn, what would you like to share about this one?
This would allow us to continue co-funding with United Way of Champaign County, the 211 service for this area. We've co-funded it since they started, and it's not very much money, but it brings it an adventure because we really need it to work. And Champaign County is special with more nonprofits than, I mean, somebody recently told me 900 nonprofits. So those are a lot of resources. And then you add governmental resources. Champaign County is very complicated and also changes fast. So I think managing 211 perfectly is always going to be a challenge for Champaign County. The vendor that we've used for the first many years was falling short in a number of ways, and so United Way did not want to continue to work with them. They entered into a contract with United Way of Midlands, who handles lots of areas, 211s, and they feel really good about it. They have a 5-year contract. They already started. We haven't paid anything this year because we had an overpayment situation. So what we would be doing is agreeing to support for the last 4 of their 5-year contract, and it would be $2,000 a year that's split between the mental health board and the DD board. And I really know that 211 is not perfect and has never been perfect, so we will continue to, even though it's a small amount of money, we will continue to give them feedback and maybe suggestions and maybe even, I hate to do this to everyone, but maybe even return to the research team that was helping them design a website to accompany 211, because it was a beautiful product. It just, the old vendor didn't want to use it, so maybe this one would want to use it. So we'll see. Anyway, so this is just to ask y'all, and the DD board voted on it this morning, and they agreed to do it. So if you also agree to do it, then we'll enter into the simple contract for the simple service and then pester them about making it better.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Is there any numbers on how many calls you're taking a year? I don't see anything like that here.
Yeah, we haven't been receiving the data reports for a while, but we can actually ask that for those from United Way of Champaign.
But you think they're doing good, though, long as...
I have no idea. Like, for years, we got the data reports, and they were showing us the same things. You all probably remember, for a while, they were, like, really beautifully presented and easy to read, and you would see, like, really housing-related calls were the predominant ones. So I doubt that's changed, right? Yeah.
Honestly, if it went down,
I guess that's even better if calls went down, yeah.
But
I will say I'm very guilty, or I'm very smart, of when I'm approached in a parking lot of people needing money or this or that, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash, which is almost 99.9% true all the time, but have you tried to call 211? They can help you get a place to sleep tonight. They can help guide you where to get some food. They can guide you if you have health care needs. 211. And usually they kind of at me and walk on, but at least I feel like I'm a walking billboard for 211.
I
don't know what I was saying. I guess I would just say, I wanted to make sure they were doing something, and I didn't really realize we had an option. We could just spit it out like that. So now I do, because I take the bus and walk everywhere, so I deal with a lot of people that could probably use the help. So I just wanted to make sure they were doing something, and it appears they are. So 2,000, yeah.
And there's also, continue to find myself in meetings with, statewide, like we're saying, what's this 211? Should we merge it with our 988? Like, oh my God, how many years do I have? Right? Like, so, there is somewhat of an awareness that maybe these systems should all work together. It's unbelievable that we're still having those conversations.
Like, just call an operator and be like, I need this. Okay, well, we're going to direct you here and then just send you there.
I mean,
have like a state number and then they can just send it to whichever group they want to send it to.
I think that's kind of what the Alternative Response Task Force is doing with the 911. That's a conversation. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to get into that because this is not for the mental health meeting, but yeah, I just that brought to my.
Well, just by coincidence, 988 became the law of the land on Scott Bennett's birthday about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. I know it's his birthday because my mom...
July 16th?
Yeah. And so 988 has been around for a minute, and I just don't know why it's so hard for the state of Illinois to, like, put these things together. It'd be great if counties didn't have to pay for any part of it, but that's a different issue. Just having systems that work the way they're supposed to for people when they need help would be a really amazing thing. So,
I do have a question about resources. Do you know anything about I know the administration laid off a lot of people for LIHEAP that run it. Do we know how people are doing accessing that resource?
What resource?
LIHEAP. So it's like low income people who need money for assistance for like heating or like the air conditioning when it's not a certain temperature that they can't turn off your power. And so usually a lot of times we'll get calls in the clinic to get a medical necessity to keep the power on or keep the water on. If it's a certain temperature that the company can turn off your power because it's not a danger or considered not. And then, you know, sometimes we direct them then to LIHEAP to get income, but to get some financial assistance for that. But I know the federal government cut off a lot of the staff, or laid off a lot of staff that runs that program. So I wasn't sure if you guys had heard about how easy it is to get financial assistance from LIHEAP currently.
I just read that they were out of money for energy assistance until October.
That's fine. Definitely worth looking more into because, yeah, it's having basic needs met is very important to mental health, and having these cuts happening, making it harder for those in our community who are providing the service and those in the community needing the service is definitely concerning, and is wondering like how 211 is navigating that. And I guess that I did have a question. I sort of hate that I'm asking this, but I know that the previous service provider didn't want to do it, was not working out anymore, but they were located in the area.
In Bloomington. Yeah.
That's what I thought, because I knew people that volunteered there in college. But this new one, United Way of the Midlands, I looked them up, and they're like in Omaha, Nebraska. So it sounds like they have a lot of experience running other areas 211s, but I did wonder how that works if, you know, none of them are located here. How do they know our resources and know what to refer people to? I wondered if anybody knew anything about that.
Well, I think they're required to ask all of the agencies that are already registered, all of the resources that are registered, for updates every year. And then United Way here has been really active in letting them know about new resources. I think that's a great question. There's 211's been around a long time, and in other communities where the provider was not nearby, there were problems like that. So anyway, that's a good question. Uh-oh.
All right. Well, any other discussion on this before we vote?
Just one thing real quick. I don't know if anyone cared. It was a question that I asked. Somebody in the audience answered it. 211 has had 2,676 contacts from January 1st to the end of June. So they're doing quite a bit of interaction.
Where did the someone in the audience answer?
No, to my phone.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That's great.
All right. With that, I will move to approve the attached memorandum of understanding with United Way of Champaign County for 211 services at an annual cost of $2,000, pending similar approval by the CCDDB, and to authorize the executive director and board officer to enter into the agreement.
Seconded.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right. The motion has been clearly stated. May I have a roll call?
Jane Sprandl?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Ryan Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. The motion passes. And next, we will move to the final item of new business, which is the draft fiscal year 2026 budgets. On pages 91 through 106, included in the packet are a decision memorandum regarding budget submissions for 2026, budgets for each fund with additional details, and the intergovernmental agreement with the CCDDB for admin cost sharing. Action is requested.
Well, I've really been talking a lot tonight. I'm sorry about that. I've got to talk about this, too. I think that it's normal to have to do this twice. You do it now before I take this articulated budget to the county board for their hearings, because then it's been approved by you. And then I get some feedback later about expenses and usually adjustments to revenue, and bring you another, hopefully very slightly revised set of numbers later in the season before the county board ends up having to finish their budget process. So this is why you see it twice. There's just certain things that are not known yet. And I learned today that a couple of the questions that I've had for a very long time related to possible expenses this year and revenues this year, we're not any closer to getting answers. They're not going exactly the way I hoped. It's kind of difficult when there's so many people doing the work now who were not doing the work just a few years ago. So some of the things that we thought were going to happen are not going to happen. So I do not know. If usually the next revisions that you see are much better, like there'll be more revenue, some slight adjustments to health insurance costs for the staff, otherwise not usually very many adjustments, but then we can put all that money into agency contracts. I am not sure that's going to happen this year, so I just want to let you know, when you see it again, the anticipated revisions, like I've optimistically put here, maybe they'll be different, and I'm really glad that people are working on this with me finally, but it's really hard stuff for them too. So, like, it has to do with property tax code. There are two conflicting property tax laws. There are different ways to interpret it. There's some history that no one's really clear on what actually happened here. So, anyway. So I think this is still a fairly conservative budget that I'm presenting to you. I'm just sad that the next time you see it, it might not be like as glorious as I wanted it to be, as bigger numbers. Anyway, sorry. That's it.
Thank you. Any discussion? I know you mentioned, I want to make sure I get this right, that you, when you brought this to someone in the county, they said that they had no notes for you. That
it
you
was the first time ever, no notes. I did the first budget hearing, and they had no corrections for it, so yay. But
you say it was also, are we the only one who had no notes given to them? Or, okay, it was our first time getting no notes. Very cool. But we might have notes, so any discussion and or motions, which are on page 92 for when you're ready to make them.
I'll make a motion to approve the attached draft of the 2026 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,397,936.
I will second. So there has been a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right. The motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
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 Yes. The motion to approve the draft budget passes. And so we also have the option to make a motion regarding the IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget. Any discussion on that, or anyone want to make that motion? Well, I will go ahead and move to approve the attached draft 2026 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $233,117 with equal revenues, including transfer from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and the CCMHB, and full approval is contingent on CCDDB action.
Seconded.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? The motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
John Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. The motion to approve the draft 2026 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget passes as well. So now we can move on to old business. No more voting for the evening, if I have that correctly. So we will first move to the Evaluation Capacity Building Project update. So we have an oral update from the team, and there is a link to the micro-learning videos that you can find on their website. So please share with us. Oh no, was it not warmed? It lit up and now it's not lit up anymore.
This is awesome. I don't know, maybe I pressed the wrong button.
Thank you. Well, lovely to see you all tonight. Just going to give a quick update on our evaluation capacity building project. We have started working with two new programs for this year, and those are with PACE and PROMISE. And we have done the kickoff meeting and a follow-up meeting for both of those, and shifting to talk about logic models and program outcomes and all the fun stuff. And working with those agencies has been really wonderful so far. We are also working on a micro-learning on reporting, and there will be a workshop on storytelling and reporting coming this fall. And we also have our working group still going along nicely and giving feedback and working together on the evaluation capacity projects. So that is a very quick summary of what we've been working on, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you very much. For the agencies that have started, working with PACE and PROMISE, did they opt to do this? Or I know sometimes it's been a condition of contracts. Like, how did they get chosen? And then are the agencies who were working with you before continuing to?
The previous agencies, I am responsive to emails as needed, but we had gotten to a point where I felt like they're in a sustainable place and I'm just sort of available on an as-needed basis to them and our team as well, of course. And Lynn, I don't know if you want to chime in on how the programs were selected. It was joint conversations between looking at reports and talking with board staff.
The GDD agencies are easier because there's not very many of them anyway. PACE has a kind of an interesting approach to consumer outcomes that I've always liked. I thought it might be a nice partnership, so but and they agreed to do it. So that's that one. And it was my impression that Promise actually wanted to be a target. That was some feedback that we got, and they jumped right in when you invited them. So
yes, everyone has been incredibly responsive. A couple of the people at PACE were really stoked about evaluation, which is a nice, refreshing perspective to come into a project with. So
awesome. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you very much for the update. We look forward to hearing how these new programs progress.
Thank you.
All right, next we will move to our next item of old business, which is the Community Behavioral Health Needs Assessment Activities. We have some notes from the work groups on pages 107 to 114. Included for information only are notes from recent meetings of the Community Health Plan Priority Work Groups. So when... what do we have to share about this?
We're trying to hit all those meetings as possible. It's a little tricky because we're also trying to move from one office to the other, but we're trying to show up to these priority setting meetings. The notes that I've shared with you were from the first meetings. There have been second meetings of every work group, and then there will be third meetings in the next 2 weeks. Just to make sure we know what's going on, and then we can share it with y'all. But I mean, some of the themes are quite familiar. I got really mad at one of the meetings I went to because the materials are not going to be ready in time for us to fully use them, and the reason they're not going to be ready is one of the partners who caused the end of the project. Like, it's a collaboration that went from 2018 till July 1st of this year. I intend to continue working with public health in these work groups as much as possible because I think that we're seeing the same things and responding to the same input from the community. But some of the other partners who dropped out are now slowing down the process of final products that I can share with you. So that temper tantrum is over, and we're being really constructive at these meetings. I think Chandra and Leon went to the most recent one. They overlap. I think I told you a couple months ago what the four priority categories were, and they really do overlap, so it's not a surprise that the committees are coming up with the same kind of projects to work on, but that's great, and it will help our work so much. So, anyway.
Thank you. Any comments from the board, or do any staff members want to share anything additional that they've observed?
I guess one of my questions would be, and I think this is just something that's been weighing on me personally, is I feel like every time I open the newspaper, I turn on the news, I open Facebook, it's just... there's so many needs out there, and they're even in our community. And so I guess what's the general feel of the people who are participating in these meetings? I mean, are they just overwhelmed? Do they feel helpless? I mean, because, again, I've used the whole, like, hey, I'm just a Caucasian, middle-class, heterosexual woman. What can I do to fix gun violence? Well, I often, because I'm very critical of myself, I have to remind myself, you know what, you're on the mental health board. That's a huge thing you're doing to help do things. I love the word literacy. You know, I've read that a lot on Facebook from different community leaders of, we're not going to stop the gun violence until we can get children who can read. And I'm kind of like, huh, what? But there's truth in that. You know, we've talked about if people don't have appropriate housing, their mental health's never going to get better. You know, their job situation's not going to get better. Their physical health's not going to get better. So I kind of feel like I should be at this meeting too, because I feel like I have a lot to say, but I'm also saying, but I don't know what to do. So
I can share the work group times with y'all. They're not super convenient times for people who are working, but the groups are great. And one thing that every group has in common is, you're not going to believe it, resource visibility. So, you know, make 2-1-1 better or create something that connects to 2-1-1. Every group, right? Every group is talking about that. And then when you talk about the underlying, like they're also very invested in social determinants of health, and the big, you know, lack of housing is coming up at most of the meetings too, not all.
May I be free to speak? Just about the thing with literacy. I want us to think about it in a more broader approach connected to literacy, financial literacy, reading, digital literacy, all the things. While definitely literacy is contributing to a lot of people just not knowing, I think our culture overall, we're not reading in the same way that we once did. And so just be mindful that it's not only connected to gun violence only, it's health literacy, it's all the things. And so if we really want to think about how to tackle literacy and understanding, I think we should really think about it from a much broader perspective, not just the symptom of young people that are getting killed by guns. So I just wanted to offer that perspective, because none of us are reading at the rate we were probably 10, 15 years ago, just because of the way that information is coming to us. We want to digest it, give it to us fast, don't give us a whole bunch of things to read because of our attention span. And so just broaden our thought process. Just because a lot of people might just feel they can't catch up as fast as they can when they're told, like, well, you can't read, so you're this. So just think about it a bit more broader.
This is why I love you, Chandra, because I only use, like, but it's true. You know, I have a situation right now where I'm trying to teach some financial literacy to my children, and I'm like, what? Why are we buying groceries at Target? No. So I love that you did point out that it's a lot broader than just being able to read words on a written page. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's just like, I think also what you mentioned about like the how connected we are to information, but like how the absorbing of that information has changed over time. It's like we have more access than ever. Like many people have more access than ever. Like globally we do, but yet like the ability to determine what information is like helpful to us and what isn't also, and to sit with that information, the like clickbait became a thing for a reason because it works. So thank you for sharing that. Any other comments on the group work groups? I just wanted to say I would also like to know like the times of them, and was curious about that. So Jean, I'm glad you brought that up. All right, well, we will now move on to the Disability Resource Expo update. So on pages 115 to 118, we have a save the date and sponsorship materials, and an oral update will be provided. And, of course, the Disability Resource Expo website is listed here as well. So, Lynn, who are you making the update? Or are you designating?
There are staff here who know way more about what's happening, and you also have a board member who knows more about it than me. I'm helping to process the payments. It's nice to get, they're getting a lot of payments, so that's all I have to offer.
I should have double checked. I want to say the last sheet I saw, we had about 15 sponsors. Does that sound about right? A couple of those are in kind, but yeah, sponsorship levels are starting to come in. which is good. I know they've sent out some things about trying to get exhibitors, but we haven't really hit that huge push just yet. Once we hit August, we'll get a little bit more busier. You'll see the group out in the community. I know this past week, I believe Barb Bresner was at the fairgrounds, God love her, at the senior day or something, but we've got some like back to school function type thing that we're going to be out there to just share our information about the expo as a resource to families and things like that. So somewhat of a calm time before the craziness starts, but yeah.
Thank you. Any others want to share updates and or any discussion from the board? And just to say the expo is Saturday, October 18th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Marketplace Mall. So with that, we will move on.
Actually, can I interrupt for just a second?
Go for it.
I am the entertainment chair. Not sure how that happened. But if anyone knows of anybody in our community that might be a good speaker for about 15 minutes, I'm looking for volunteers in the community who'd want to share how their disability did not hinder them from doing great things, whether it be I've reached out to Jacob Dickey. I've not heard back yet, but he has hearing loss. But yet he's become a very good meteorologist. He's a great community advocate. He's in the schools. He's all around, you know. So to me, you know, he could have just been like, oh, I can't hear. But it sounds like he, you know, worked through those limitations and excelled. So if anyone knows of anyone in the community that might be a good speaker, I'm only looking for him to talk about 15, 20 minutes one time on that date. Obviously, when I sent notes out, I said it's unpaid, of course, but, you know, we have good snacks. So maybe direct them to me. I would really love if we could find someone who would be willing to talk about mental illness, maybe someone who... I mean, they don't have to be famous in the community, but someone who people would be like, really? That business owner has struggled with schizophrenia or something. I just think that kind of puts a face with a diagnosis that you can overcome. You can be anything you want to be. So if anyone has any great suggestions, feel free to reach out to me. I did send a note to NAMI asking, you know, hey, can you direct me to someone again? I know this is probably a little bit more of a bigger ask. You know, it's one thing if someone... you know, has cerebral palsy or Down syndrome or something to talk about. But when people start talking about their mental health, sometimes that's a little bit more vulnerable. So anybody have anyone, just send them my way. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, we will move to public participation agency input. So again, we have time to hear from members of the public. We cannot respond directly to anything that we hear, but we may use it to inform future actions. So if anybody would like to share in person, you can come up and approach the podium. If you are online, you can raise your hand or put something in the chat. And we do have somebody who in person would like to share. And then we can keep an eye out to see if anybody on Zoom would like to. So I may limit your time to 5 minutes, but hopefully you don't need to do any limitations. So please feel free to share with us.
Can you all hear me? Thanks. Hi, I'm Jessie Heckenmuller, Assistant Director of Community Services at Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. I just wanted to address a couple of the comments that came up today regarding LIHEAP, because our agency does run the LIHEAP program. So you can find on the CCRPC website the same information. So I'm not providing anything that's not public. I just want to share that. But right now, for the 2025 program year, all LIHEAP funding is exhausted. And so that does mean our normal LIHEAP operations are not happening at this time.
We do encourage folks who have not received a LIHEAP benefit since October 1st, 2024 to apply for natural gas assistance. So there's information on that on our website. And then we expect to begin taking LIHEAP applications for the 2025 to 2026 program year on October 1st of 2025. So we are not expecting that program to go away as of this time. What you were referring to was potentially our summer cooling program, which is another program that we have going on over the summer where we utilize actually non-LIHEAP funds. It's a different pot of money because we're out of money in our LIHEAP funds to support folks who are particularly vulnerable during the summer. And so the summer cooling program does require folks to meet an income threshold as well as they either need to be a senior age 60 and above or an individual with a medical certificate documenting a condition that requires active power in the household. And so that is the medical certification that you were talking about. That is not for regular LIHEAP funding, but for the summer cooling program, that is a requirement at this time. Again, all of that information is on our website, and I encourage you to check it out. It's very easy to find. You just can type LIHEAP and CCRPC or type in summer cooling program and CCRPC. The last thing I just wanted to share is I was the one that shared the 211 information because I'm working on our community needs assessment right now. So if you go on 211 Illinois and then you can filter in their database to find just Champaign County specific information. So it's super helpful to get an idea of kind of where are people asking for help in our community right now. And that is all I have to share.
Thank you very much.
Can I ask a question?
Are we allowed to do that? Have board members ask a question in response to what public input has been shared?
Okay, just nod. Is there still summer cooling money available? I was writing and I probably didn't hear that.
Yes, there is still summer cooling money available. And if we were to run out of funds, again, we're very intentional to make sure that our website and all resources are up to date.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anybody else in person or online who would like to share public comment? There appears to be none, so thank you very much. We will now move to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can be a liaison to agency or other community boards, and if you want to do that, you can talk to Stephanie Howard Gallo. There's a list on page 119 of some of the options and some board members who are attending. Does anybody, any board members have an update from this board-to-board report? All right, sounds like none. I know the committee that I go to is not really the meeting this summer, and I don't know if they're going to even keep meeting. So we will next go to county board input. Do we have any county board input?
Sure don't. It's a slow move for the county. We usually take July off.
I was wondering if there's any news on, like, how the opioid settlement fund, like, distribution is going?
Yeah, we actually we met yesterday, and we purchased a machine, I guess, that does automated CPR compressions. Other than that, we did have an update that we actually have more money than we thought we did. So we're thinking about how to invest it. I also think, just in general, thinking about systems and looking to the future and how we can kind of keep things standardized.
Are there any agencies that have applied for the funds? I know there was the discussion about women in need recovery maybe being eligible.
Yeah, so I know that Jen, the county board chair, talked to the executive director pretty extensively. I think the plan to move forward with her is not just relying on opioid settlement funds, but then also using a chunk of county funding that was going towards Rose grants for their reentry work. So we're thinking multiple funding sources for that. I haven't actually seen a presentation to the opioid settlement task force from WIN, but that might be coming. I'm not quite sure.
Thank you so much for that update.
Next, the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Is there any input from them, Lynn?
They met this morning. They were the first. And it went great. Okay. And they did approve the draft budget for IDD special initiatives, which relies on both of your authority, and then they also approved entering into that four-year agreement with United Way for 211. With some discussion, it's interesting because it's not a lot of money, but it's so important to folks that we get it right. So, yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Good to hear. Next, we have board announcements and input. Any board announcements or input? All right, seeing none, the last thing we can do for this evening is adjourn. Our next study session will be August 20th, 2025 at 5:45 p.m. right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Building. We will see you next month. We are hereby adjourned. Have a good night.